We quite often hear our children, and especially teachers who are teaching younger children in Bible classes, teach a little song that they engage in singing titled, "This Little Light of Mine." And it's interesting to watch those young children as they participate in that particular song. But when you think about the words to that song, there's much more to the song than just the words, though they're beautiful words and beautiful little children singing those songs. Notice, if you will, that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 13, gives us some information that's quite challenging. Let's read those verses, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Remember, if you will, as we have studied together the last 3 weeks, at the emphasis that Paul placed on certain terms that kind of stand out in our world. For example, we talked about that section of Scripture where Paul reminded us that we needed to crucify the flesh. We just don't need to be comfortable walking out there on the edge. We need to have a determined mind and a mindset that we're going to live for Him. And to live for Him, we've got to crucify the flesh. And then we made mention this morning in our study together some things that we needed to be aware of, and we talked about watch our wardrobe, that it was really important how we dress, spiritually speaking, when we involve ourselves in the lives around us, the people we work with, our neighbors that we live by, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be quite mindful of the wardrobe that we wrap ourselves in, spiritually speaking. And then he uses a term in chapter 5, light and darkness. And he makes the point about how important it is for light. And you could say, by means of light, Christianity. How important it is for light to shine in darkness. As we said a few moments ago, it's much more to that little song. Much more meat on the bones of that little song. It's more than just a song. When we think about it, life is a moral struggle. It takes an all-out effort on our part to be able to make a distinction between light and darkness. Also, if you notice in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God calls us to make a difference. We're to be a light in a dark world. We're to be children of light. Notice, if you will, how the section begins in Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 8. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's almost if he's trying to warn us, and especially those that were living during his day and time, that we're not to forget where we came from and the blessings that we now enjoy, and the things that we can accomplish by being the light in a dark location. Maybe he's trying to remind us we shouldn't ever forget where we came from and the condition that we were in when we came from that location. We were literally in darkness. We were lost out there in the world, struggling, and now we're enjoying the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. For a few moments, let's look this evening at some of the things that Paul was making a statement about as we kind of compare and contrast darkness and light. The wise man said back in Proverbs chapter 2 and at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 2 and at verse 14. That there are those out there in the world that really rejoice to do evil. Now that's something that we find difficult wrapping our minds around. To think about people out there in the world that literally get excited about the opportunity to commit evil and do evil and live evil. And he goes on to say that they delight in being involved in the wicked. It really draws a contrast, does it not, to what darkness really is and what the world is really like out there in darkness. There are people out there, there's an element of people out there that are so engrossed in sin that they rejoice in the opportunity to do evil, and they're quite happy to involve themselves in the association with all the other wicked people that live in that complex. Isaiah made a statement back in the 5th chapter of Isaiah before he really got into some very in-depth teaching in the book of Isaiah. But in verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 5, he said the people of his day, I mean, you're talking about Jews, God's chosen people. Isaiah said they call evil good and good evil. Does that sound a lot like our society today? There are so many things that we see out there in the world. There are so many sins that we're exposed to that people do not like for you to refer to that lifestyle as being evil. They don't care for you to say, well, if you make the choice to live that way, morally speaking, you're living in darkness. And they do not want people to call evil anything but good, and don't dare say that good is anything but evil. Now let's go to the New Testament in Matthew the 6th chapter and in verse 23, Jesus said, if your eye be evil, then your whole body is full of darkness. If your eye is evil, then your entire body is darkness. And then in John, the third chapter, there's an interesting statement there spoken and referring to Jesus as the light. The light is referred to as coming into the world. Jesus left the portals of heaven itself, and he came to a dark, evil, sinful world. He was light into an evil world, but notice, if you will, what it says. But men love darkness rather than light. So, the gospel is light. We represent light. But we've got a tremendous responsibility that falls upon our shoulders. We don't really need to step out there thinking that this is going to be an easy cup of tea, because there are those that are really not going to care to hear what the gospel has to say. But there are those out there that can be won from darkness over into the marvelous light of the gospel. Notice, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Is that not a mouthful? When you think about what our challenge is as New Testament Christians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh my goodness. Satan has done his job. He has done his part in trying to convince people that sin is not evil, that it's the good life. Sin is not wrong. It doesn't separate you from God. Sin is the good life. Notice, if you will, what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1. And let's begin, if you will, in verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Boy, could that not be a news heading in all the newspapers of our country today? They turn their backs on God. Just as if it was in the days of Jesus. Light left heaven. Light came to this world. Light died for the world to be saved from sin, but the people loved darkness more than light. Now let's look at the very opposite of that. Let's talk about living and walking, not in darkness. Living and walking in the light. Notice, if you will, in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8, he had reminded them, now remember where you came from, because you were at one time in darkness just like the world. But now you're in the light, and you need to walk as children of light. Now notice, if you will, he's going to go one step further. He's going to give us the instructions as to how we're to live and how we're to walk. But he's also going to give us some tips as to how we can engage in this walk. Look what he said. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, remember what we just read in Romans chapter 1 about darkness and what darkness was like. Remember what the wise man said in the Proverbs and what Isaiah said in chapter 5 that his people had come to be in their lifetime. Just the opposite of what we're reading here. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now this is an important part. An important verse in really helping us to see what's involved in walking in the light. Because if we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to benefit from the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to know what we're involved in. We've got to know what the Spirit expects us to do and how He expects us to walk and what He expects us to be involved in and what we're expected to be not involved in. And notice, if you will, in verse 10, it starts with the word proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what it is. Knowing the difference between light and darkness and recognizing the fact that to prove truth, to prove and show people that light shines in dark places. I was reading an article about life back in Ephesus during this time. And the streets and the shopping centers were unlike ours. For example, they had very few windows on them. And they had no lights whatsoever. So you walk into one of those stores, and if you were shopping for something, maybe a piece of cloth, maybe a glass or a piece of pottery, then it was very hard and difficult for you to be able to see if that fabric was of good quality. Was it worth buying and taking home and spending the time to sew together and make a garment? Or what about a piece of pottery or a glass or a bowl? Was it sound? And they would take these pieces out of the store and they would hold them up in the light to see if maybe the bowl could have been cracked. Or maybe if the cloth had a bad spot somewhere in that yarn. Oh, you couldn't see in that dark store. It was difficult to see if the merchandise you were buying was good, pure, clean, worth the price. But when you put it in the spotlight, when the sun shined on it, then you could see the flaw. Well, that's what Paul is talking about when he said, we are to walk in the light. We are the light. And when the light shines in a dark place, it illuminates what's there. And when it illuminates what's there, people can see a distinction between light and darkness. Light exposes flaws. Light, God's light, the truth of the gospel exposes sin. You see why he would make the statement and remind us, brethren, you need to walk worthy of your calling. When we read our Bibles, when we know our Bibles, when we respect the truth and seek the truth, and we walk with Christ in the truth of His Word. Oh, the light shines not only on the world, but the light shines on us. When we're walking by our Savior, when we're walking with our Lord side by side, step by step, in this old cruel, hard world where there's a lack of morality and a lack of hunger for the word of truth, we can even see our own flaws. So we can know, oh, when I pray, I'm going to pray for the knowledge and the truth to help me overcome this old sin. Can you remember something that you really wanted to shun and stay away from? But oh, it was so hard because sin is enticing. Remember, we talked about that a little bit this morning from the book of James. Oh, it's alluring. And it draws us out and away from the folds of safety. But when we're walking in the light, when we're letting this little light of ours shine, when we're walking with the Lord, then yes, it's a light in darkness. But it's a light that illuminates in us and helps us to see our flaws and our weaknesses, and through prayer and study and struggle and the friends of loved ones that lift us up, then we can overcome those weaknesses. And we'll better see the need to crucify the flesh. We'll better see the need to put on the spiritual wardrobe that we're supposed to wear that's pleasing and acceptable in the eyes of God. Because you see, we recognize that our light is shining in darkness, and it illuminates all that's around, even us. What a blessing it's going to be to see people won to Christ. To see people have an opportunity to change their lives and make different decisions because they're no longer walking in darkness. They're going to be walking in the light as He is in the light. If you're in the audience this evening, or if you're listening by way of Facebook, could you think of a better opportunity than to leave the darkness and come over into the light and to become children of light, no longer children of darkness? To do that, the New Testament reminds us that we need to be born again. We need to die to sin. We need to be buried with our Lord in baptism to arise and walk in newness of life, and to experience the freedom that comes with a good conscience of knowing that those sins are no longer charged against us. They've been forgiven and washed away. What a relief and a privilege it is to look forward to the spiritual blessings that will flow from being in the family of God. If you need the prayers of the congregation in any way, take the opportunity as we're led.